that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are back. Was going to play that song, The Boys Are Back in Town, but because we are. Had a little traveling last week and was away from the ranch, but we are back and live this morning, 21st of January 2023, and we thank you for joining us, and we've got a couple men on with us. Josh, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And Brother Paul from the Great White North, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
And I didn't hear if anybody else came on or not. We have a couple more men that might be joining in this morning. We'll see, but if they do, we'll just have to bring them on. But we welcome you, Remnant. Thanks for joining us. Hope you have your Bibles with you. We've got our Bibles here. We've got our coffee, and a little brisk, about 9 degrees here at the Radio Ranch. It is wintertime all over. Like you said, Josh, you poor things there in Texas at 55 degrees. I just hope you can get through that, and but
and the wind is blowing too.
Not wind. So and I we didn't have wind. I'm walking across from the house over to the office this morning. It just a dead calm, and that's really something to be thankful for here, because 9 degrees and a foot of snow on the ground and a 20 mile an hour wind is pretty brutal, but a calm morning, just a beautiful, calm morning, and sure thankful for that. Well, Josh, would you open us up in prayer, and then we'll just move forward.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for all the blessings that you've given us, Lord, and pray that you always help us to have a thankful heart, Lord, that we'd see the blessings that you've given us, Lord, and that we would not be hard-hearted. Lord, we do pray that you'd forgive us of our sins, Lord, and that you remove them from us, Lord, as far as the east is from the west. Help us to So move past those sins of yesterday, Lord, and walk in your service today, Lord. New clean creatures, Lord, created in you, washed in that blood, free and unfettered, Lord. Do certainly pray that you filter our prayers, Lord, and protect them, perfect them. Lord, pray that you watch over and protect our families. Pray that you grant us that full armor of Ephesians 6, Lord, as we walk about this day. Pray that you help us to have a correct spirit, Lord, a manly spirit, a godly spirit, Lord, in which we don't shrink back, but we push forward every day, moving towards that perfect kingdom that you have waiting for us, Lord. Pray that you help us to do our part, Lord. Have us to be stout-hearted men. Our yeas be yeas and our nays be nays, Lord. And following you along the way. Lift up all these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And was mentioning before we came on the air just how you take a week off the news and the current events, and not a lot changes. Some does. There's a few things that change, and things pop up every now and then. But you know, nothing new out of the White House. Nothing new from the government that I can see. You know, Josh, in your prayer, you prayed for us all to be stout-hearted men. And if there's ever been a need for that, it's certainly today. I did see, and I think I'll lead off with this. I saw it this week. I thought it was a very good positive in the National Hockey League this week. Ivan Provorov, I think that's how you say his name, number 9 on the Philadelphia Flyers. And they were celebrating their LGBTQ, you know, honorarium, whatever you say. So the warm-up, they all had their queer jerseys with the rainbow flag that they've absconded. And they had their hockey sticks taped up with rainbow colors and, you know, to honor the LGBTQ blah, blah, blah. Makes you want to puke. And he said, no, I'll sit out. And he did that. He sat out. He decided not to participate. It was in Tuesday's warm-ups. You know, he didn't call a big press conference. He didn't quote the Bible. He didn't tell them that they were going to spend eternity apart from Christ if those sinners continued in their sin. He just sat it out. And when they confronted him, I don't know if everybody saw that, you know, he basically said, I respect everybody. I respect everybody's choices. My choice is to, he said, stay true to myself and my religion. And he said, that's all I'm going to say. And he let it go. And he is actually, I think he's from the Ukraine area, if I had that part of the report right. I saw a little blurb on that. I don't think I've got it back here in the broadcast booth with me, but just thought that it was interesting that he did that. He's a Russian, what do they call it? Is it Russian Orthodox? I think is what it was reported back his quote religion is. Anyway, I just thought that it was good that even if it's just one here and maybe two there, that even in these professional sports, that you've got again, at least every now and then, every here and there, somebody that is not afraid to stand up and not afraid to go along, to not go along with the crowd. When it comes to this, the backlash that he's getting, some of the sports writers that, you know, have certainly go along with the crowd and have come out against him are just, you know, blasting him pretty hard left and right. Not that I follow that, but looking into it. And so, you know, it's not that he does this without any type of repercussion. It's just, I guess, is it worth it to him? whatever repercussion comes.
Well, with that, it's always hardest for the first person to stand, and it's a little easier for the next one, a little easier for the next one. And that's our job, is to be that guy, you know, to be the one that says no, to be the one that separates themselves from the pack where it's comfortable. You know, we're supposed to do the right thing, and we are held to a higher standard because we do know more and we've been given more, and we shouldn't take that lightly.
I think that's pretty wise. He didn't elaborate why he did it. Just say no, you know, and then that just set a tidal wave in the whole thing. He just said no. You can't reason with idiots and, tell them they're going to, you know, like you said, be with Christ. So but they just don't understand that. And if you think about how Jesus, you know, when they crucified him, they said, well, he's the king of the Jews. He said, well, who do you say that I am? So he puts the proof back on them. And, you know, people talk way too much. And you can't argue or reason with a fool. That just makes no sense. In day-to-day life, you just can't reason. You can't. And that's a lot of people push their religion on people. But people aren't interested. I don't know why they even keep doing it, but they do. So, but that's just quite a statement. And it's, look, he said no, and it went national. So
that's right.
Just like that.
And I wanted to mention the ripple effect that happens because he did this. It was noticed. It was noticed. And on the NFL Shop and Fanatics online store, that's what they call them. See, it's okay to be an NFL fanatic. That's the name of their store, the NFL Shop and Fanatics online store. His jersey with his name and his number on it sold out in hours. And so just that niche of people that follow hockey, because it's not everybody, that saw what happened. It reverberated with them. It resonated with them, I guess was the word. They liked it, and they show their support with that. They're like, hey, I stand with that guy. You know, we saw this years ago when Tim Tebow made it into the NFL. And, you know, the Tebowing was a thing. Of course, he was ridiculed and prosecuted and persecuted anyway, and, you know, just blasted nine ways to Sunday, but he stood his ground, you know, and he continues on. He's still very successful in life and still a Christ-loving Christian. And same thing, you know, the jerseys, the people that support that, they're there. Whether you call it a silent majority or I think a lot of them don't even know why. They don't realize that law is written on their heart. And they don't realize why when they see something that, you know, is a positive, it just shines so bright in this dark world that I think they want to be part of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, we don't know how many's out there, you know, and most people don't have a clue. You know, we know the whole story, not that we're perfect or anything. We know the whole story, but most people don't know the whole story. But yes, when the Saxon begins to hate, you know, it's written in his heart, and this is what's happening, what we're talking about. But yeah, these people don't really know why they're that way, but they are. So, and we will all return to our roots at some point in time. There's a thing on PBS, Black Guy, about the black people roots, and, you know, it's on all the time. I don't watch it or nothing, but, you know, I always think of the DVD, Back to Our Roots, you know, but now they're trying to go back to their roots. But they will go to their roots, and we will too. So it's just a matter of time before we separate again.
Well, a thought that occurs to me, good morning, by the way. I was running just a little behind. I apologize.
Good morning, Tim.
A thought that occurs. thank you. A thought that occurs to me is that God calls many people in many different manners to serve. And, you know, one example in the Bible was Daniel. He prayed three times daily secretly after the king outlawed it. He went to He says he went into his chamber and he opened his windows and he prayed. And, of course, you know, they had their spy bots spying on him then, just like they do now, but that didn't matter. He did it in the privacy of, he disobeyed the way he could best. and he didn't go pray on the street corner, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the king said, you're all going to bow down to the image. And they disobeyed publicly. I mean, they were called differently. You know, it was like, I think a lot of times it's not about the disobedience. It's about the obedience to God, because obedience to God is disobedience to the world or to the king or to the, you have to choose. You have to make those choices. And one is no less honorable than the other. It's just the case of who, what, you know, where, and how God has called you to take care of that. So, anyways, that was just my two cents worth.
Well, that ties back into what Mr. Paul was saying, and he, I feel like, helped me learn that lesson without having to feel all of it. You know, like hitting your thumb with a hammer and you move it instead of hitting it again and again. But that you can't save everybody. And, you know, when you're a new Christian, you're excited and you just blabber to everybody and thinking everybody's your friend and everybody's our people. And people take what you say and they twist it and they throw it back at you and use it against you and use your own words that you meant for good to attack you. And over time, you do realize that the less you say, the better off you are. And God will show you when it's time to have one of those conversations with one of his, and when they're ready for it. But you can't make anybody take anything. You can't make anybody understand. We shouldn't shrink back. Whenever it's time, we need to have those conversations, and God will show us that. But words can definitely be a trap, and I do think it was wise for this player not to say too much, because they took it and pelted him with it, made cannon fodder out of him. You know, if he quoted Christianity or whatever, then they'd have brought up everything he ever did wrong and try to tear down his character and whatever. So that's definitely something to think about, is that normally you say more with fewer words. Yeah. And then act like what he did.
That's right.
Right, right. Pastor used to say that timing is everything. I can remember that a lot of things. He said, you know, and God's timing is perfect. ours sure isn't. Mine's not very good sometimes, you know. But I can remember talking to him about preaching at one point in time, and he said, "I'll tell you, Tim." He said, "If you can do anything else, that's what you should be doing." And I said, that really took me back. I can remember thinking, well, why do you say that? I mean, don't you think God needs that? And he goes, yeah, I do think God needs preachers. And he said, he calls preachers. And he said, I'll tell you, son, he said, if you're called, you won't be able to do anything else. You know? So he said, and I think that it's that way with many things through life. You know what I mean? You know what your job is. It'll be inherently powerful in your life, and doors will open and things will happen. And when you, it's the same thing when you want to, like what you said, Josh, when you want to talk to everybody, you know, you learn sometimes that maybe silence is a little better, and sometimes they talk to you. I mean, as I've gotten older, I have people go, oh, you guys are so different. You guys are so, or I want to be, I'd sure like to have what you have. I've heard that before. what's the deal? Well, you sure better open your mouth and start talking, you know, because that's like an open door. So, but, you know, we see those kind of opportunities through life. And some people, after you tell them, they're like, well, I can't buy that, you know, or I can't, or whatever. It's like, well, that's between you and God. So, but you planted the seed anyways.
Right.
So, well, there you go.
Well, look at the proverb. That one line sentence will give you something to think about all day. You know, a lot of words don't get it done. You know, a question, most of the time they put Jesus in the corner. He never even answers. He asks them a question. He puts the burden of proof back on them. And this is what we have. We got people that are seeing this world come apart just like they got that jersey from that guy. I mean, they're out there. We don't know how they're. We don't really know the right reason. But they did make a statement. Because it's wrong, you know, and there's more people out there that know that, and they're trying to push it down our throat like it's the normal.
Amen.
Yes, exactly. Right.
Amen. Ephesians 5:11 tells us, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. And so even just like he did, no thanks. We'll see how tolerant the other side is of that, how accepting they are as the hypocrites that they are. They preach and teach one thing, but it's just to be accepting of them. And and there are those that, like you mentioned, that'll buy his jersey and wear it, you know, because they agree with this. They might not go to the links he did, you know, but they're in agreement. They may not even know why, but they are. They know that they support what he did, and that's how they can support him and stand in agreement with it, I guess.
Well, you can bet there's some out there with them jerseys on and were double-minded that didn't really believe it, but just went along to keep their job or whatever, too. You know, I'm sure there was some in that group like that, so who knows, but...
Oh, yeah. You know, oh, yeah.
A lot of people just go follow or keep they follow, and they just, well, they don't want to offend anybody. Well,
right.
The Word of God offended me at one time, so, but that was a good thing. I needed it.
Right. Oh, yeah, the crowd. The crowd goes along with it. You know, the crowd, all the rest of the players went along with it, however many there are. The crowd, I heard a good little blurb from a message just the other day, and it said, you know, the crowd will keep you from Jesus Christ, 'cause the crowd ain't going to make it. You know, the crowd, when the crowd called for Barabbas to be released, it wasn't because they loved Barabbas. It was because they hated the truth. They didn't want anything to do with this truth. Of course, they'd been riled up and all that. But, you know, that crowd, I remember the one picture. I'll have to find it. But, you know, it's the masses of the sheep going off the cliff. And the one going the other way, saying, excuse me, he's trying to get out of there and not go off the cliff. You know, the old saying, you know, you ask your child why they did something. Well, everybody else was doing it. Well, if everybody else, you know, jumped off the cliff, would you jump with them? And, the crowd, I mean, we, you know, our people like to go along with the, with the group. They like to go along and get along. But you have to, Josh, it goes back to what you prayed, being stout-hearted men. You know, we have to stand out from the crowd. And when we do what God tells us to do, just like in Ephesians, you know, this guy didn't, let's just not have anything to do with these deeds of darkness. You know, when that applies, and it is honoring God, and it does set an example. It absolutely does. It sets an example that others need to see. It turns the light on. It lights up the lighthouse in this dark world that we live in. It really does.
Well, and it is hard. It's hard to take a stand against that group of people, his team, his own team. You know, the guys you're talking about with the rainbow unicorn jerseys. that was a hard thing to do.
Yes.
But what's going to be harder, him taking that stand or him looking at God on the day of judgment and you know, having to give a reason why he went along with something that he knew was wrong. And it was a damnation, you know, to our country.
It kind of sums it up. It made me think of something just listening to this discourse here between all of us and this, you know, but it kind of summed up in Matthew 13. And it also brings out a lot of times we say, well, they, them, you know, well, who are them? Well, like, and I've done this before, people. That's how I remember this. But it's Matthew 13, 10 through 12, just three little verses in there, and it says, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. You know, and that, just like that saying no and not really explaining why, that's a parable to speak. You figure it out, you know. I mean, you know, I mean, there's a lot of, a parable is a story that's related but undefined, you know what I mean, as far as, you know, there's all kinds of things in there. You have to have some basis of understanding in it to relate to it. And I think that kind of summarizes, you know, the whole situation there, maybe. I mean,
oh, it does.
Ties it up.
It does. If you have a love for the truth, you'll get more. If not, well, it just gets worse. Guys, let's try the phone lines this morning. Hey, good morning. Thanks for holding. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, good morning, Richard.
Well, good morning.
Myself, I do a little one that people say, well, go to Walmart and get it. And I say, no, I've been over a year not going to Walmart because I've learned they support the cabal. And I get attention from that.
Amen.
It makes a stand because they know what I'm talking about. I even ran into a person that there was an employee at Menards. They said, I know what you're talking about. That's why I quit Walmart. You know, it gets attention.
Amen.
All right, I'll yield with that.
Amen. All right, brother. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the comment. Yeah, we're even seeing more and more, if you look anyway, people being fined, people being arrested for praying. Okay? Certainly over in the European Union and England and places, but here in the United States as well, I've seen a couple headlines this week that people being fined and arrested for praying outside of abortion clinics. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, carrying signs and chanting and yelling and bullhorns and things like that. I'm not talking about that, you know, those type of protests. Seen videos, seen pictures, people standing, not blocking a door, not even on an abortion clinic property. On the public sidewalk, across the street, silently, not even with their hands up, not down on their knees, just head bowed and praying. And that is so powerful that the enemy cannot stand it. And they have to call and get the people arrested and fined. And they have to do all they can to stop just that, just I saw one just this morning. A man was lamenting his, long story anyway, his dead son and was standing outside an abortion clinic praying. And can't have it. Nope, can't do that here. Got to go do it somewhere else. And so, you know, yeah, different people, as was mentioned earlier, are called in different ways. Whether it is, like you said, Tim, can't do anything else, preach. Or if it is a type of protest, if it is just praying. I've known and I've heard of people that just had prayer lists that, you know, would meet people, would write their name down, and would spend time praying for them. Not saying no to these deeds of darkness. We're called in many different ways, that's for sure. And it does. I think that when we stand up, when we do our best to be a stout-hearted man for Christ, for His way and His word, that it does have that ripple effect. And it is a good, positive example for others.
You know, in the book of Amos, it says it is an evil time. The evil man will keep silent. You know, I was talking to Pastor Peters about that one time. He says, yeah, that is true. He says, but I can't. I'm called to preach, and I have to keep going. So, you got to know where you're coming from. But the thing of it is, just like this guy making a statement, we're just not participating. That's a statement in itself, and it's huge. Much more than preaching.
And it's action. And that's what I relate with the caller. Understand what he's saying. Maybe not as far as drawing attention, but getting someone's attention. Like, there are certain businesses that I won't do business with, and there's Starbucks being one. It's an easy example. You know, if you got a group of guys and you're going to stop and get coffee, and I refuse to buy Starbucks stuff. I'm not going to. And, you know, there have been plenty of conversations. Well, how come you don't do Starbucks? I said, well, I'm a Christian, and they don't. They're against Christians, and so therefore...
Right.
I don't do business with them. And, you know, it's not like you're not trying to debate about it or not. It's just a statement of where you're at. And I would rather, and it's a little thing, but I'd rather not have coffee than to drink Starbucks coffee. And the Target, and there's a list of businesses that are, you know, have come out and have openly been against us. And I, for the most part, rather do without than do business with them.
Yeah, it's not like you pull into a mosque to pray or something, right? I mean, or yeah. Whatever. I mean, it's like we could do something different, I think. So I certainly agree with that. It kind of ties in, but it's a bit of a shift, but I've seen a little video thing go by on homeschoolers the other day, and this was a newer mom who had just put her kids in homeschool, and she said, well, I get asked why I did that, because they were pretty big into the public education system, and, you know, they were on the parent teachers thing, they were on the school board, you know, they were but they're Christian people. And she said, my first lead out is, how come speaking about sexual matters at work is considered harassment? You know, they'll sue you, you'll lose your job, you have to go take counseling, you, all kinds of things. But she said, speaking about sexual matters in school is education. She said, that's when we pulled our kids out. So she said that, you know, but there's a ton of people, and I don't know for sure that she was, you know, a Christian lady, but she certainly seemed like to espouse values that were, in the course of that interview or whatever, that were Christian-oriented. But the point is actions speak louder than words. And there's a lot of people that are taking actions right now that are aligned with godly precepts. And that's powerful, you know. I mean, it's... there is nothing like serving the living God, but it's even, to me or to my mind, it's even as much interesting or as much, there's much more, what do you want to call it, blind faith involved when someone steps out and does things that honor God who aren't even sure about their Christianity or about, you know, but they're like, hey, I know it's right and that's what I'm doing.
Right.
You know? So, and we're seeing that. I mean, it's like, well, we'll figure the rest of it out right now. I know this isn't right. You know, so, you know, Lord willing, they will get everything figured out. But it's just one of those things. I just think it's interesting, the state of what's going on all over the place.
Homeschooling is one of those highly debated subjects. You get a lot of pushback and some heated discussion about it because it is such a sacrifice. You know, it's a time sacrifice. It's a financial sacrifice. It costs to do it as well. But for the teachers, it takes a lot of time, and you got to invest that time in your children. And not everybody's willing to do that. So, you know, people make excuses, and some have valid points for sure. But a lot of times you'll fight something harder whenever God's trying to work with you on it than if he's not, because we are stiff-necked people and are a stiff-necked people, and we don't necessarily take that rod of correction. But I would definitely advise anybody whose children's in the public school system to pray about it and evaluate that situation, because they are not passing up any opportunity to indoctrinate us and our children every single day.
Well, you tell, I don't know about you guys. I think it's probably all true. But when we get this message down and we understand it, it throws a real screw in your life and how to deal with it. You know, I seen Johnson Bronson, and I talked to him when he called me one day, and I could tell. I said, Johnson, you had a change of heart. See, when you get this truth and how to handle it, with much knowledge comes much grief. And you know, we can see all this stuff, but it's hard to convey that message to anybody unless they want to know it. You know, we know it and everything, but it just throws a screw in your life for a while until you learn how to deal with it. And I'm the same way, you know. I preached the message in Bronson, Where's the Joy? I was such a negative idiot that sermon was for me, is who it was for. I said, where's the joy? You know, where's my joy? You know, it's the gospel. It's the good news. It's supposed to lighten us up, not make us depressed and judgmental and everything else. I mean, but you go through that. My point is, I don't know about you guys, you go through that era of learning how to deal with it. And in two words is the best way, as I can say, you know, the question and stuff like that. So, unless a person wants to know, you're wasting your breath.
Amen.
Well, that question of where's the joy, you know, I was thinking about it. It's one of the things to talk about this morning. We need to be looking at the news and see not just the scene of the doom and gloom and the way that they're shading everything to try to steal our energy and steal our joy, but we need to look at, okay, what's God doing with this? Where's God working in this situation? The price of eggs or whatever amount, double, triple, that they used to be. In some places, they're scarce and what have you. Well, that's a big deal, and it is a big deal. I mean, it affects everything, but you know where God's working in it is. I've seen more people looking for chickens, you know, looking for pullets, and they're building pens, and so they're going to have their own eggs at the house. And so, therefore, you can look at the doom and gloom of it of, oh, it's costing more, and we do, and whatever, or you can look at the positive side of, hey, these people are getting a little more. Even if it's a half of a quarter of a percent more, but they're getting a little more independent because they're going to have a food source at home, like what they should have had already. And to me, that's amen. Very important, not to get overwhelmed, you know, not just look at what they're doing, But look through that and see what God's doing. And Pastor Peters was so awesome with that. And I loved at night, you know, on the nightly program so much, he would read the news and then shine through to what the truth was. You know, he could see through their garbage. And I enjoyed that. And he was training us to do the same thing. And that's what we need to do.
Amen.
Yeah, you know, you pray against Walmart, or you pray against these corporations that are out there doing these horrible things, or these pharmaceutical companies. Well, God's answering those prayers. I mean, like you said, everybody's going to have some eggs in the back. You know, those who can might have a beef. Those who can might have their garden and those kind of things. That's going to hurt them. That may break, that very possibly may be how God's breaking the back of those corporate elitist giants, you know, when the masses suddenly don't need that anymore. I mean, or can't, you know, and so, you know, it's an answer of prayer.
Oh, absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
At the same time, he's equipping his people to prosper even when they're not
exactly
there.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, guys, let's try the phone lines again. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hi, is this Richard?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Richard. Good morning, Tim, Josh, Paul. Hope I didn't forget anybody. This is Brother John Kevin from Buffalo, New York area. Great conversation so far. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19, it says, "And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep, and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God, for the living to the dead?" And I just want to say two things, and then I'll listen to you men, the Spirit of God in you men, is I sent in an email before. I asked for Zach Porter if they would put me in contact with him. So Richard has my email information, my phone number, if you would forward that to Zach and really any other men. There's just a few things I feel by the Spirit of God to share with you, but because the enemies of the cross of Christ, some of this should not be shared on, you know, open mic like this. And then the other thing is, in the most recent prayer request, which ties into the scripture I read, three of the people, I won't mention their names, but one gentleman for neck surgery, constant pain, another in hospice, so that's a polite way of saying they're on death's doorstep, and another one going for chemotherapy. It's like, how can we promote? You know, I'm praying for those people, but I'm not praying the way the prayer request came across, because it's against, to me, what Jesus taught. None of the apostles taught it. And so I just want to, I feel like I'm supposed to share by from God, you know, with some of you men, and Zach Porter being one of them, about receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit and what that really involves. And I've heard, Paul, you talk about it a little bit. And it's more than just talking in tongues. I mean, people have gotten inventions from speaking in tongues that made them solved problems and made them millions of dollars for the kingdom of God and so on and so forth. So it's more than just speaking in tongues. That's about all I had to share.
That's just one of the gifts. That's the problem. The baptism is remission of sin is how you get the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. John, Kevin, thanks. Appreciate the comments. And if I can get an email with Zach, see if I can get your email swapped out, and we'll go from there. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Yeah, and you know, we are to pray as we're led. You know, we certainly are not perfect, and we certainly don't live in a perfect world. And you know, people with varying amounts of faith. And led in different ways and down different avenues, but we lift up our concerns, our prayers. We are to do that. God knows what we need. He knows what each person needs before we do that. But He still wants to hear it, and He still wants it lifted up to them and lifted up to Him.
Well, and to kind of jump back into that joy of the salvation thing, I mean, it's an that Paul was talking about. You know, Psalms 51 talks about it at length there. David was writing that, 51:11-13, and he said, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit, that I will teach wrongdoers your way, and sinners will be converted to you." But, you know, teaching wrongdoers your ways, is, we all know it's an axiom among our people. I mean, how do you you lead by showing, you know, you lead by doing. I mean, you don't, sinners will be converted to you. When you're out there doing God's will and doing it God's way, people are watching, you know, but the joy of it's an old story about how we suffer with that joy of our salvation. I mean, I'd be flat out lying if I said there weren't times I pray that psalm, because it's like, Lord, I return to me the joy of my salvation. You know, I mean, sometimes I get weary. I'm still pursuing, but you're just like, okay, it's a long hill, but
amen.
We're going to keep climbing.
Amen. And our joy is certainly different than that of the world. That's for sure. I had a trip recently, and on that trip had a young couple, been married a few years, have a couple little boys, and but they both asked about homeschooling. Hey, were all your children homeschooled, and how difficult is it, and this and that, and we had a good little conversation and answered a couple questions for them and hopefully got them on the right path, and have some people in their area that are Christian homeschoolers that, you know, are similar ages and things that I think, we got them in contact with each other that I think will be a big benefit to them. And, you know, that sure gave me joy. It really did. You know, that you see, that God allows us to see, he's working, just like, we don't know how many people bought this hockey guy's jerseys, a bunch of them, bought all the jerseys, however many there were, that there's people out there, but when you see them, when you get to talk to them, when, you know, you see that they're, you know, wanting to do the right thing, and asking, you know, not just listening, but asking. And that's good stuff, you know, at least for me, that sure made my joy full, you know, in that instance.
Well, we should recognize that the enemy is doing everything that they can to keep us from seeing those people buying those jerseys. They want you to feel like you're the only one. They want to isolate you,
right?
And make it to where it is as uncomfortable as possible for you to be the only one doing the right thing. We need to recognize that and look through that and see that you're not the only one. There are others out there. It's just that they're trying to make it look like you, or make you feel like you're the only one.
Just like the prophet Old Testament, he thought he was the only one. Well, there were 7,000 in Bill. In their need of bail, and you got to keep that in mind, because we don't know how many's out there. We really don't, and we don't know the depth of it, you know. And if about people being adequate of knowing a simple truth, a 5-watt light bulb is awful bright in a dark world. So just a simple truth works better than these big, you know. Look at all that we've been through to get where we're at. So
right.
It don't just happen, and that's key to life. You meet that person where he's at, not where you're at.
Amen. I remember years ago there was a story, young man. It was back east somewhere, Illinois or Ohio or somewhere, and he was a high school wrestler and looked to win state. He was favored to win state for wrestling, so they're in the tournament, you know, the state tournament, and he's coming up and they're there wrestling. So he goes on the mat to wrestle his next opponent, and a girl comes out. And he turns and looks at his coach, and that was the opponent that he had to wrestle basically to win state. And he said no. Now, I don't know who that family is. I just saw that, but it made an impact on me. I remember seeing that, and that's been, I think Pastor was still alive. That's been over 10 or 12 years ago, and seeing that. And that family wasn't on our ministry, nothing like that. But see, by their fruits you shall know them. And that young man said, no, I don't do that. I'm not going to wrestle a girl. And he forfeited basically the state championship as a 17, 16-year-old rather than do that. And so there's those out there that do. And when you make the right choice, folks, when you have an opportunity to be a stout-hearted man or woman, if that applies, and do the right thing, we've said it before, you're being watched. The ripple effect that will have, the example you set, just in doing the right thing to honor God, it is lasting. It really is.
Well, you know, that's a blessing to you.
Go ahead, Paul.
When you see all this wickedness, you know, with what's on the news and stuff like that, you know, you got to remember that God says, I preserve the wicked for the day of destruction. And that's what he's up to something right now that it's going to be so across the world that nobody's going to miss it. And he don't need none of us, but he's setting this thing up for that. And we got to, you know, when we learn this truth, we're going to do our part to make it happen. But we have to. And the biggest thing is to bear witness. That's our biggest job, is just to bear witness, because he's doing something big right now, and it's going to be big in the world. Nobody's going to miss it. So,
amen.
And his name will be glorified in all the earth. So, and that's in my opinion, that's the biggest job we have, is to bear witness.
Yeah, Philippians 2:12 says, you know, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And it doesn't mean when, and it also speaks earlier in the verse about just as you have always obeyed. Obedience, working it out, when you're called on those sort of things, when the spirit that is in you demands action, whether it's saying no, whether it's knocking that purse snatcher to the ground and kicking his teeth in, or whether it's just simply getting up in the morning and going to work to take care of your family. Those are all things. And I'm always reminded of that the fear and trembling part. Courage isn't the absence of fear. It's a proper course of action in spite of fear, you know. And I'm quite sure that everyone that has ever stood up and stood out and been heads and shoulders, they had some fear and trembling going on somewhere, but it didn't show. You know, it was just like, okay, God said to do this, and that's what I'm going to do, by God. You know, so I think that that's just, and wow, you know, what a wonderful thing to be able to do. That's that faith. You know, we talk about stepping out on faith. It doesn't matter. I mean, if God said to do it, that's what I'm going to do. And so,
when you do that right thing for the right reasons, even though it's hard, it will be a blessing to you in the long run as well. Not just the people, not just the Richard and the Josh that heard about this young man making this hard stand. And that's huge for a 17-year-old, I'm going to say, kid.
Yeah.
You know.
Absolutely.
That's a big deal. That took a lot. That shows a lot of character. And that's a blessing to me to see him do that. And he'll also reap the benefit of that blessing as well as he goes on.
Amen.
You can bet he had a family behind him that taught him something right.
Oh, absolutely. And not just a mama, you know, not just a mama back there. I bet you he's got had a good Christian family, a mom and a dad that loved the Lord, that have taught him, you know, how to think and to make those right decisions. And, good stuff. I remember that. Good stuff. And you know, there's
been... There are women that can raise strong men.
That's right. there's been a, you know, when this DeMar Hamlin in the NFL got hit and died on the field, basically, and they did 9 minutes of CPR and brought him back and all that, and sportscasters were praying and people praying in the stands and on the field, and, you know, that woke some people up. You know, it really did. You know, God, that's how God works. He doesn't always work the way we want, but he works and he will be glorified. It's as simple as that. Well, guys, we are out of time. Thank you all for joining us, taking time, and sure appreciate the comments and the encouragement that this has been to me this morning and to the Remnant out there. And Remnant, we thank you for joining us, and we invite you to come see us at church tomorrow. We'll have a live service tomorrow morning as well as a timeless pulpit truth from Pastor Peters. The prophecies that he put out that he told us were coming, we're living them today. And so we encourage you, join us at church tomorrow morning at scripturesforamerica.org and starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 on the West Coast. And good Lord willing, long as the roads don't close, got some snow coming tonight, we will be there. So God bless, guys. We'll see you tomorrow at church.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at...
This is WTWW, Lebanon, Tennessee, USA.